Next step, 624, May 21st, Ascension 2020.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These podcasts are part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Ministry and provided by epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Happy Ascension Day. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus Christ. On Ascension Day. That's the proclamation that he makes. Yes, we read it in Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth. This is the completeness, right? This is the seven, right? Heaven, the three, the Trinity, the three up there, plus four, the four corners of the earth. Three plus four is seven, the number of completion, totality, universality. There it is. Today is that day. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus Christ. And he gives the great commission on Ascension Day. Before ascending to heaven, he says, go therefore to the world. Teach people what I have commanded you. Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember this, I am with you always till the close of the ages, till the end, for time eternal. There it is. That's the message of Ascension, and I greet you today saying happy Ascension. But there's something missing out of Ascension, isn't there? Maybe a little bit of happiness is gone. Well, I know, we try to make the best of it, but I heard this interview. And just this morning, as I was getting ready for today's show, I was going through some podcasts, and I picked up this podcast from yesterday on NPR about, you know, life has changed in the churches. And, you know, things aren't going to come back to the way they were. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, we were talking about that on the next step. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me anymore. I know, we're always ahead of the game, okay. But this is what was interesting. A reflection. There was two reflections that I want to share with you, okay, in this podcast. And I'll have the entire thing on today's show notes. I would really highly recommend you listen to it. It's very enlightening. It's a 5-minute little podcast put out by NPR about religion in America. But listen to this. This is a woman expressing her sentiments. Listen.
Health experts say the coronavirus is easily spread through singing. So for Episcopal parishioners in Arizona, like Rachel Sampson in Tucson, the only music option is to follow the church program at home.
I've been doing that, but it's starting to feel really sad and hard for me to keep sitting in my living room singing by myself. Now that we're 8 or 9 weeks into it, I'm starting to feel disconnected from it.
Wow. Can you relate? Can you relate? I'll be the first one to put up my hand. There's something about it. It's this two-dimensional screen of, you know, watching it on a screen. Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I admit it, this morning it was, I thank God that we had this opportunity. It was Ascension Day. I wasn't able to get out of the house. I was able to follow the divine liturgy to pray with my brother in Christ who was celebrating the liturgy. And with a community, there were people that were participating by shouting out an amen here or, you know, thank you there. But still, there's something about that presence. And of course, the ultimate presence of the participation in the Holy Eucharist. Now, I know. It varies. I have the luxury of being a priest in the sense that I can go in, and I did a couple weeks ago. I needed to recharge the batteries to the point where I needed to plug in. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy. It's going to be awkward. I know. It's under closed doors. Been doing it now for how many weeks? There's something missing. And when I heard this lady's interview this morning, I go, wow. You know what? There's so many people who love it. This opportunity that we can sit there at home and do it, but it's not the same thing. It just isn't the same thing. I remember a couple weeks ago, I shared with you these ideas that it may just even turn into something passé if we continue it. That's something that you just put on in the background. You know, have your coffee and toast and donuts with it as the Holy Eucharist is being shared via the internet. I don't know. There's some sacrilege to that. There's something that that's not what the intention of it was, right? Isn't this the intention to promote community? Well, now, like I said, we're in this pandemic. Thank God we have this opportunity to be able to connect electronically. But it leaves something. No, it leaves a lot to be desired, right? It's okay if you know, in a pinch, it's okay, but there's a lot to be desired. Now, I said there was two segments. Let me play you the other one. The other one's actually very serious. It's a very, very serious issue. Not that the first one wasn't, but this one is a serious issue. This is a pastor. It's in that same podcast. And he's talking about an issue of faith.
The way people are reacting to this worship shutdown depends in part on their past experience. For John Chadwick, a retired Lutheran pastor in Iowa, it's 40 years of preaching and the realization that his faith no longer provides the answers he needs.
I look at the virus and I wonder, I question, as a pastor, I would say, we need to trust God in all this, and that's okay to say that. But I got to admit, for me, I wonder where God is, which is not great for a pastor. I realize but that's where I am today.
I said it's serious. Yeah, he said it too. It's not good for a pastor to be talking like this, but it's the truth. He's feeling it. Where is God in all of this? This is nothing new for us, of course. If you've been listening to The Next Step, you know we've tackled it on different levels. We've talked about it in terms of genocide, you know. We've talked about the idea of people dying in mass quantities, you know. Genocide. Atrocities. By the way, last night we watched Architects of Denial. What a great movie. I didn't know that existed. I was out of it. It was filmed or was produced in 2017 with executive producers Dean Cain and Montel Williams. Yeah. And it has George Clooney talking about it from the Aurora. It's a fascinating, I don't want to digress too much, fascinating small little documentary. I highly recommend it. I'll put a link on the show notes if you can. It's a few dollars. Buy it. Support it. It's well worth the time to watch it and to share it with others. It's very well done. It's called Architects of Denial. But getting back to our topic, okay, you've got genocide. You've got mass scale atrocities. Where is God? Where is God for the Armenian people when our claim to fame, yeah, come on, is the first Christian nation, right? First Christian nation, right? So you would think that, you know, we kind of have like an in. You got your first Christian way, you know, okay, come on. Like, God, remember us? Where is God? Well, this pastor is going through crisis. I mean, to me, that's a spiritual crisis. It's something that we've discussed. And It's something that we've answered. I won't go too much because I know I've shared it with you how many times, but it's as easy as looking at the cross and seeing Christ on the cross and realizing that, hey, God didn't even intervene when it came time for his son to be crucified. He was crucified. Jesus Christ was crucified, the Son of God. If anybody's entitled to ask, certainly Jesus is. And, you know, he quotes scripture. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross. It's nothing new. It's a question that comes out. It's a human question. And it's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question when you have, now listen to me, this is very important because I say it and as much as I think that these questions are serious, I think this is equally as serious, is to have this answer. And this is not an apology. It's like God doesn't need me to apologize for him. God doesn't need me to defend him. But this is what works in my life. This is the teaching of our church. This is what our faith is. And when you talk about apostolic church, you're talking about the understanding that the apostles had, that was given to us. And the apostle John himself says it so beautifully. God is love. Wow. Well, we can take it and say, well, if God is love, why are these? No. Listen, God is love. What does that mean? What does that mean when we say God is love? Well, love is vulnerable. Yeah. Love means, I'm going to make it real simple because it's one of my favorite lines in the whole wide world. In all of history, one of my favorite lines. Okay? This is why you listen to that next step. I know it. I know this is why you listen to the next step. Because you know you get me to this point where I have to do this. Wizard of Oz. The Tin Man has no heart. That's right. He's an empty tin can, okay? And the wizard gives him a heart. And what happens at the very end, very, very end? Dorothy's going to leave. And what does he say? Now I know I have a heart. Why? Because it's breaking. You have a heart, it's going to break. Love is vulnerable. What does the evangelist say? John says, God is love. He doesn't say God is Superman. Doesn't say that God swoops out of the clouds. No, those images, thank you, Hollywood. Thank you, Hollywood. Those images, thank you, Old Testament. The Red Sea and parting it and burning bushes. Thank you, very nice. But the evangelist John says, God is love. What is love? It's vulnerable. It breaks. It's a heart that breaks. And you're going to ask, where is God in the middle of a pandemic? Well, where are you when something that you love goes away from you? Where are you? You cry. You hurt, don't you? Those of you who have children, those of you who have parents that you've tended to, those of you who have had a best friend, those of you who have had a spouse and something's gone wrong, you love that person so much. But your heart breaks. Because you love. You don't just sit back and say, okay, give me another cigarette and how about another martini? You know, I think I'll take a look at what's going on and see them in their pain. No, you hurt. Don't you think God hurts? When he sees he's given us this beautiful world, and what have we done with it, right? Abuse everything that's been given to us. Everything. I'm not just talking about the natural resources. I'm talking about our relationships with one another. What have we done? I mean, do you remember just a few months ago, Australia was under fire? Do you remember that? Forest fires. I know we don't talk about these things anymore because why? Well, we got pandemic now, right? Forest fires that they couldn't control. People were coming halfway around the world to take care of those fires. Do you remember last summer seeing the pictures of the glaciers up at the poles? Huge, massive ice glaciers are melting. The earth is heating up. No. Shh, we can't talk about that. Okay. Well, something's got to give. Do you remember your father, Voskin? We went out, Susan and I went all the way out to North Dakota. We sat there with the Indian tribes. What was going on over there? Water, the rights of way of water, something that belongs. And such a beautiful concept that the Indians have. This beautiful idea that you don't inherit the earth from your parents. You borrow it from your children. What a beautiful way. What a beautiful concept. If I borrow it from my children, what am I going to do? I'm going to make sure that I take care of it. But we haven't. And that's just the natural resources we're talking about. How about the interactions? How about what we're doing with one another? We're selling out each other for oil, aren't we? We're selling out each other for money. We're selling out countries. Oh, you know how happy we were last year that the United States Congress accepted the Armenian Genocide. Oh, that was so wonderful. Wake up, folks. Wake up. They accepted it as a punishment to Turkey. Turkey was playing around with the wrong people. Okay, we're going to show you. We're going to accept the Armenian. I don't want to be this punishment for the Congress. But, oh, we just love these kind of things. We just love, you know, because somehow the ends justify the means. So at the end, if it gets recognized, okay, the means, who cares? Whether it's a punishment for Turkey or whether they did it of good conscience. I care. The genocide is not up for debate. The genocide is not something that you play around with. But we play around with it. That's on a personal level. How about all the other political games that we play and people die? How about the refugees coming out of Syria? How about the kids in Darfur, the children that are raped, their mothers raped, and then killed, left out to hang? People. And then we go through all of this. This is, by the way, us doing this to each other. There's no God coming out of the clouds. I mean, if you want to watch those movies from Hollywood and you want to base your idea of God on those movie ideas, well, okay, here's the case. There's no God coming out of the cloud and doing these kind of things, okay? This is people doing it to one another. And then when it's happening, we say, oh, where is God? Where is God? And like I said, you're understanding God in the terms of a Superman, not what we understand because of what the evangelist St. John said. Yes, that's an apostle. That's apostolic faith. John said God is love. So where is God in the middle of this pandemic? I'll tell you. God's in those doctors. God's in those nurses. God's in those first responders. Yeah, those are God, manifestations of God. Because they're doing it because they love, because they've taken an oath to love and serve humanity. That's beautiful. You want to see God? Look at the goodness around you. Look at the goodness that we are living today. And so, yeah, my heart goes out that a pastor would even say what he said. I understand it completely. There is no way in the world that I would even argue with them, because to each, they have to make their peace. And if this is what he feels, I'm sure he feels it, and it's real. But for us, we need to have a mature understanding that when we're looking at this world, we are responsible. This is not just something that God said, hey, let's have some fun over there. There's some human beings. Let's see what kind of menace we can cause. Yeah, I know. Thank you. Thank you, Old Testament. I know there's a lot of stories like that. God coming out of the clouds. Oh, poor old Job. Let's beat him up a little bit more. No. I'm talking about a realistic faith, a faith that is built on what Jesus Christ taught. Love one another. The minute you say love one another, you have already introduced hurt and pain into the equation. Let me say that again, okay? If your formula for life is the Christian formula, namely love one another, if that's the formula, then you've already introduced pain into that equation. You've already factored in that there's going to be suffering, because to love means that you suffer. It means that you love so much that your heart will break. Of course, people are going to let you down. Yeah, Dorothy's going to walk away. Now I know I've got a heart because it's breaking, because Dorothy's leaving me. It's the same in life. Yes, I am hurting because it's not the way I want it to go. And can't you imagine God thinking the same thing? I gave this world everything they needed. And look what they're doing to it. Look what they're doing to it. I see a weeping God. I see a God that is truly love. In other words, a God that has a broken heart. And so when we say, where is God? God is love. And this is why we believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. This is exactly why we believe it. Because when we say that God is love, we're saying Jesus Christ is love incarnate. He saw the world. He sacrificed. He gave everything, which is what love does. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you put into that equation love, love is what? The way. Do we all agree? Yeah. Love is the truth. Do we all agree? Yeah. Yeah, love is the truth. Love is life. Yeah, I agree. You know what? The world can agree on that. Unfortunately, people want to make up what Christianity should be. Unfortunately, Christianity has been hijacked. It's been hijacked with people trying to make it into some kind of a Superman movie. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I saw some guy the other night, Madoc. That's all I remember. It was the middle of the night, insomnia, yeah. Turn on the TV, this guy, oh man, he was good. And not one word about faith. A lot of words about faith, but not one word about the message of Christ. It was about make $1,000 gift. And this is a seed. You make a seed and God will make it sprout, or we'll plant. You plant the $1,000 seeds and watch what happens, okay? So the way to plant the $1,000 seeds is not in the tummies of sick children or hungry children, no, but to give it to him. So call the guy, and there's a phone number that he flashes on the screen. Now listen to this, okay? You say, well, who's going to do that? Oh, yeah, wait. He's talking to an auditorium that's filled. Behind him is a bank of people on telephones. Now, unless they're faking it, every one of them had a headphone on and they were taking down orders. People were giving thousands of dollars. Yeah. And so when I tell you that, yeah, Christianity's been hijacked, is what I mean. This is not what Christianity is. This is not what Christianity is. Anything. It's ridiculous. But they're pawning it off on people. And people are gullible. They'll follow it. Because we watch movies and we see God coming out of the clouds and emptying out the the Red Sea. He parts it out and it's empty, and we see the Israelites go through, and then he makes the waters come down, and the poor Egyptians, they're, excuse me, I know people are going to get upset. I said poor Egyptians. They're heathens, right? Guess what, folks? They're children of God. Who created the Egyptians? I mean, this is so ridiculous. This idea that somehow God plays favorites. But we've done a really good number, haven't we? We've created a world in which some people are favorites and some people are outcasts. And because of that, what happens? Because of that, what happens is that some people claim authority, superiority, and you know what? This is where it all begins. Yeah, in many ways, it's the fault of religion, isn't it? Right? And I know you've heard it. I'm going to heaven and you're not. You've heard that kind of preaching, right? If you believe this, you do this, this, we're going to heaven. And everybody else, well, I don't know. Come on, folks. The keys to heaven are held by God. That's it. He'll make that decision. What he's asking us to do is to make sure that you're living properly and rightly and in obedience here on earth. Don't worry about heaven. It's his domain. But, you know, we love to do things that we have absolutely no control over. I need to take a break. I hope I gave you a lot to digest, because today I have a beautiful song. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking about the Ascension, about the feast. I've got some nice announcements to make at the end too. Something really great happened within his shoes, and I want to share that with you. But for right now, we're going to say thank you. This is a beautiful song that that was just released, I think, a couple weeks ago, and it is called We Say Thank You. It is by Mandoki Soulmates and Ian Anderson. Just a beautiful little number that says it exactly as it should be said during this pandemic. Enjoy.
It's going to be a long, long, hard year. The world falls through a hole of dark and fear. Hey, look outside, our life is lost and gone. Please stay at home till everything has been done. And I thank you all for being there for us in need. All the doctors, nurses, cops, the hands across the seas. I cherish all these gifts you give so free. At least now I can show how much that means to me. So this time of our life, with this virus in the air, I do what I can do, I say thank you. And this time of our life, we need to stay at home. I do what I can do and say thank you. This song is written by the fears we face. At the wrong time, at the wrong place. By chasing chances, some of us ran wrong. As greed becomes a speculator's song. So this time of our life, with this virus in the air, I do what I can do, I say thank you. And this time of our life, we need to stay at home. I do what I can do, just say thank you. For your who keep the world turning, with this virus in the air, what else is left to do? But say thank you. For the nurses and the grocery clerks who cannot stay at home, there's nothing left to do but say thank you. And you speculators, stop that party of the Big Short. Our lives change like the weather. Some songs to forget, but this
this song is forever. So this time of our life, with this virus in the air, I do what I can do, I say thank you. And this time of our life, we need to stay at home. I do what I can do, just say thank you. For you all who keep the world turning, this virus in the air, what else is left to do but say thank you. Thank you for the doctors, the nurses, and the supermarket workers who cannot stay at home, we say thank you.
A song that speaks to the times. Ian Anderson and Leslie Mundoki doing We Say Thank You. And if you listen to those words, they were just right to it. The video is beautiful too, because it shows some of these first responders, some of these people that we have to always remember and say thank you. We are living in during some very troubling times, difficult times, and at some point we need to just stop, as the tune suggests, and just say thank you and realize how blessed we are for having these people in our lives. I hope you enjoyed it. Check out the show notes. I'll put a link to the video. It's well worth watching and seeing the visuals in there. And of course, always applaud the genius of Ian Anderson to be able to put something like this together. I didn't think about it before, but, you know, we just listen to that song. It's exactly to the time, right? I mean, it makes sense today. Would you say that's a relevant song? Absolutely. That's what relevance is about. It has some meaning to you, right? It is relative to the circumstances. It's Einsteinian, and that is relativity is important, right? Depending on where you are, where you're standing, how you get the information. Well, guess what? We happen to be standing in the 21st century. We happen to be in the year 2020 when there is a pandemic going on. And there are certain conditions all around us that we have to be aware of. And so this is our moment. This is the moment in which we're at. Jesus Christ came in a unique time. It was the first century I guess it wasn't first century then, right? He defined first century. I mean, he defined BC and AD, right? I mean, he was the moment of our calendar. And we now have a new BC, right? Before Corona or before COVID. I mean, we're going to be defining ourselves by that too. But anyway, like I always do, I digress. Jesus Christ came at a unique time in history, and that time had its language. And I'm not talking about they spoke Aramaic, they spoke Hebrew. It had its language. In other words, there were things that people understood as givens. Okay, very basic thing, money. They didn't have dollars. They didn't have cents. There was a monetary standard. So when Jesus spoke about the woman who made her offering at the temple, he referred to her in the terms that they would understand. I mean, he didn't say, like, she took out, a quarter, took out 5 pennies. And, you know, he used the monetary standard of the day. He didn't say she wrote a check. She charged it on her credit card. No, we talked about in terms that people would understand. I mean, think about the idea that he was talking largely to an agrarian society, an agricultural society. So people in his audience understood concepts like a grain of wheat has to fall into the earth and die for it to produce it's harvest. Yeah, I understood that. Because, you know, if I'm in agriculture, if I'm a farmer, I have my farm, and I know that I have to take that weed, I have to plant it, I have to cultivate it, and then it will die in the earth, and then it'll sprout up. Now, if my whole life has been spent living in an apartment where the closest I've gotten to agriculture has been, you know, running downstairs to the market and going through the produce section, going through the vegetable section, you know, if that's the terms on which I've grown up, so that even wheat, I'm thankful that it comes from a box, not understanding that it's a grain that has to fall into the earth. And, you know, people may laugh at this, but yeah, you could imagine it, can't you? Of course you can imagine it. I mean, we have no problem saying that, okay, somebody who's lived in a, let's say, in a third world country in a hut would probably not understand the idea of a cell phone, right? And so if I were going to use a metaphor that employed the cell phone, that person who's living in some hut somewhere in the third world probably would not understand that concept. That, you know, you have to download an app, and that app will give certain functionality to your phone. Look at you and say, what? And I'd be a fool to try to explain something complicated to this person by using a metaphor that they wouldn't understand. I'd be a fool. We have no problem with that, but for some reason, when we come to Jesus' parables and what he's talking about, we think that everybody has to understand it. Everybody, including that guy who lives in an apartment all his life. He has to understand that, you know, Jesus is the vine and his father is the vine dresser and we are the branches. What does that mean, the vine? Have you ever seen a vine? If you've lived all your life in an apartment in the city, have you seen a vine? Well, maybe you've got pictures of it. But there's a close one-on-one relationship that the people that Jesus was talking to understood the metaphors, understood the language that he was speaking in. Again, it's not about Aramaic. It's not about Hebrew. They understood his language. Now, when it comes to us in relating Jesus' stories, Jesus' message, especially today being Ascension Day, go therefore to all the world, preach and tell them all that I have taught you. How do we teach people what Jesus has taught us? Well, the message stays the same, but the means have to be relevant. Okay, people have to understand by which you're talking. So many times we go over the heads of people. And this is not a, you know, we're smarter than other people, but it's just a language issue. The language that we speak in the church is a completely different language than what people speak on the street. Again, I want to make this really clear. I'm not talking about classical Armenian compared to Eastern Armenian, compared to Western Armenian, compared to English, French, Italian, or whatever. I'm talking about the language of understanding these concepts. I've been a priest for almost 40 years. Before my priesthood, I served in the church as a deacon. And all of my assignments have been in communities that are largely, or predominantly, immigrant populations. I bring this up because I was born in America. And, you know, my primary language is English. And you would think that, you know, I would be in more English-speaking communities. But every one of my assignments has been in large immigrant populations. People from Iran, people from Armenia, people from Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt. This is where my strength is. I felt it after my first assignment. I mean, I felt it even coming down to Southern California. I felt like it's not about speaking English or speaking Armenian. It's about communicating and talking with people at a level that they're understanding. And I say this Conversely, I've seen the same too. I've seen pastors, I've seen priests whose primary language is Armenian do exceptional work inside of communities that are largely English speaking. Why? Because it's exactly what we were talking about. It's not about the Aramaic or the Hebrew. It's not about English. It's not about Arabic. It's not about Armenian. It's about getting the message out in a relevant manner. And relevant means you have to be relative to the times. You have to understand it is the theory of relativity, that times are different and you need to speak in a language. I'm not saying change the message, but the carrier of the message, the means by which you get that message out. There is an elevator. I'm sure you've had this experience. If you've lived or worked in a high-rise building, you've had this experience of an elevator, right? You get in it at the top floor. You're the first person to get in. And it goes down the floors. Let's say you get in at floor number 12. At floor number 10, they pick up a few more passengers. Floor number 6, they pick up a few more passengers. Floor number 2, they pick up a little more, and everybody's now tightly fit into that elevator. You get to the first floor, and it's time to get out. The people who came in last are the ones to come out first. You who came in first are the one to come out last. Now, if you're biblically trained, if you've read some of Scripture, you know what I'm talking about, right? Can you understand that Jesus living today would have probably used some kind of metaphor, such as the elevator, to explain that, yes, the first shall be last and the last shall be first? Wow. Wow. It works. That's all I'm saying. So let's get over this idea that we have to exist in, 3,000 years ago for people to understand what we're talking about. Christ's message is today. And this is where I want to go with for today's message. Ascension. Today is Ascension Day. And I've been pondering this whole idea all week long. Not about Ascension, but I've been troubled because I saw services. I saw so many of them over the weekend. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be critical. I know everybody's trying their best. But at some point, we need to be able to say there's a reason. You're sitting around and people are saying that people aren't coming to church because of the COVID-19 virus. No, folks, people were not coming to church before COVID-19. That's the reality. Churches are empty. And there's a reason for that. It's this relevance issue. Is it relevant to your daily life? Does it matter? And yes, I agree that there's a beauty to the service, to the liturgies. It speaks to your soul. But at the end of the day, you have difficulties. You have financial problems. You have relationship problems. You have health problems. And that message has to speak to you somehow. What you do Sunday mornings has to transcend the Sunday venue and be a part of your life every single day. And so you get there and you don't get it, you stay away. So that being said, today is Ascension Day. On this day, Jesus ascended into heaven. And we remember that. We mark this day. Now, think about the idea of ascension. Think about Jesus ascending. It is a directional movement, right? It's not about like he moved from one place. No, he went in a certain direction. Ascending. Now, can we find a relevant way to express this to people? That Jesus went to heaven. People could ask right away, well, why didn't he hang around? I mean, he is God, right? Why did he abandon us? Okay, let's talk about that. There's nothing wrong with those questions. Those are wonderful questions. What do you mean Jesus went to heaven? Why didn't he just hang around? We would have peace on earth by now, right? Okay, think about it this way. Think about free will. Think about your freedom. God has given you everything. And this goes back to our beginning, what we talked about with the COVID-19. Where is God? God has given you everything. He's given you the breath to breathe. He's given you the life. He's given you the happiness, the joy. He's given you the resources, namely your world. And he's given you rationale on top of it all. So use those things. Put them all together. It's not about Jesus babying us, becoming a babysitter. But he came and gave us a formula for happiness in life. That happiness is to live life and to live it to its fullness. We express that in different ways. Here in America, we've actually put that into our Declaration of Independence. When we broke off from England, we specifically said people have that right, inalienable. It's an inalienable human right to pursue happiness. Okay, we've put that in there. Now, is that biblical? I'm not arguing whether it's biblical, where it comes from. I'm just saying that that's an important factor as an American living here in the United States. That's part of what we have been taught. And this is the background, this is the culture in which you've been brought up. Now, that being said, you have a model that Christ is giving you. Yes, he's telling you serve. He's telling you to love. He's telling you that peace is attainable, that you can make it in this world. Now, think about that. Aren't these all points that lead you where? Up. You ascend. The ascension is not just a physical or historic event that took place. Absolutely it is, but it has relevance for us today. Jesus gave us a direction in which we are to move, and it's an upward direction. It's to rise from our condition. We look at the saints. Every one of the saints did exactly that. They were human beings who were able to what? Rise. They were able to ascend and go from their earthly existence to the heavenly existence. Jesus Christ, it's a physical, historical event. His physical body ascended into heaven. It is documented. It is shared through the Gospels, through the history of the church, through the oral testimony, the oral witness of the church, and then codified in the writings of the fathers. And we know that Jesus ascended into heaven. Okay. Now, what does that have to do with my life today in 21st century? With COVID virus around me, scaring me. With my family, with my work, lost my work, I've got bills to pay. What does that ascension have to do with me? It has everything to do with it, right? The direction that Jesus points us is a direction upward. It's to understand that he is with us always. That's the message that he leaves us with, right? He says, and remember, I am with you till the close of the age. Beautiful words. But if you believe that it came from Jesus Christ, you have to believe that it's true. So this direction up is not only a guidance from him, but it's a push from him. I am with you. Well, where is he going to be with us? He is pushing us. He's moving us up. Don't be scared of that. Don't read too little into it. It is the direction of the church. The church has an obligation. And this is sometimes when people come and tell me about cults. I think about specifically like Jehovah's Witness. They tell me they get involved in. And I say, you know what? You're free to believe whatever you want. In America, by the way, I spoke about, and I know many of you who are listening might find this hard to understand, but here in America, anything can be a religion. You can believe in anything you want. You just need a certain number of people. I can't remember if it's 10 or 25 to register yourself as a religion. So you can be eating a hamburger tomorrow and look down on your plate and say, geez, that hamburger is God. manifested. If you can get 10 people to join your church, 25 people, whatever it is, you can register the Church of the Holy Hamburger. You really can. And you can be a legitimate church. I mean, people are doing this right now. They legitimately become ministers. Why? Not because they believe anything. Or maybe they do, but that's not the reason why. The reason why is because they can then perform weddings. And by doing marriages outside of the church, it's a very lucrative industry. You know why? Because we priests can't do outside and people want to go outside. So guess what? You could charge a premium if you do a wedding on the beach or in the park. Imagine that with all the flies and the dogs coming around. That's a premium? You would leave this beautiful sanctuary to go out and have this primo wedding amongst the flies and the dogs and the the excrement of the dogs? I mean, think about it. Wow. But no, I want to have my wedding at the beach. Well, somebody will do it. Somebody will do it. Okay, you can get a license to be a minister for a couple dollars, and then you can do that. And I'm bringing this up because it's no big deal to have a religion. And, you know, it's a big deal when you got millions of people following you. That's what the Jehovah's Witness got. But here's my thing. People come and say, well, you know, this is what they want to believe. You're free to believe it. You want to believe that, you're free to believe what Jehovah's Witness believe. Here's my problem with it. What to believe that means that you have to sever your ties with others. In other words, there's no harmony with humanity. There's no attempt to try to get along with people, to seek the peace. It's my way or the highway. And it's that exclusionary, I am right and everybody else is wrong, which makes it a very difficult thing for me to even accept and for me to say, yeah, if you believe it, go do it. No, it's outright wrong. And it's only logical that if you follow it out, it's also wrong because it leads you down. It destroys community. It destroys families. It does not lead you up. It is not an ascent. It is not anything that you could believe that Jesus, God, would be behind and pushing you up. Ascending into heaven. You can't imagine a faith where Christ would say, well, you know, everybody else is wrong. You're right. I'm going to push you up, but everybody else is not going to make it. Everybody is his child. We are all children of God. And those decisions are left for God to make. Who gets into heaven? Who gets the rewards or whatever there is after this life? He's telling you, don't worry about the life after. He's saying, right now has troubles enough as it is. Leave it. Trust God for what's going to happen afterwards. But right now, follow me. Right now, understand it's a message of love and compassion and sacrifice you have to have for people. And therein is the happiness. Now, can we pass that along? Can we share that with people? Well, we just did. We made the ascension event something that we could understand by terms that we have today. Namely, that we have to ascend. We have to move ourselves forward. We have to find a direction of our movement. And God does not ask us to have that moment, that direction where it leads to a dead end, because he, in fact, did not end it at a dead end. He said, look, I am with you forever. And he ascended. Can we ascend in our lives? Can you meditate on that idea of that you have to rise from your condition? You have to rise from where you are right now. Everything that Jesus did that has been recorded in the Gospels led to that ascension. Whether it was the blind man who saw, whether it was the paraplegic who literally rose and ascended from his mat, or whether it was relieving the sins of the sinner. The direction of movement was up, ascending. Jesus Christ becomes a model for us, even in his ascension, even past his crucifixion, his resurrection, which become these ultimate events, defining moments in our lives, right? Defining moments as far as faith goes. Do you believe it or do you not? You believe it, you have to move forward. Well, move forward where? By ascending. It's the ascension. And do you see what I mean by relevant? It's now relevant. That event that took place 2,000 years ago has relevance in my life. Because now I'm taking the actions of Jesus as true. I'm understanding he ascended to heaven. But I'm also understanding that if he's going to heaven, he's leading me there. He's leading me. And I understand that if he says, I am with you always till the end of the ages, then I'm understanding that he's with me. He's pushing me there. And where can I go? I can only go forward. I can only go up. And I don't want you to confuse this with prosperity gospel, which has gotten a lot of bad rap. It's not about you giving. It's not about you giving money to me or to anybody else to get these things. It's just understanding God's goodness, God's love for us, and showing the direction. Everything that Jesus did pointed to this day, pointed to him leaving us so that in our free will, we would take all of the lessons that he's taught us. We would take it, we would use it, we would apply it. For what? Just for the sake of it? No. So that there would be harmony in this world. So that what the shepherds heard when Jesus Christ was born, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, this dream would come true. And that comes true with us. It comes true when we reach out to one another, when we realize that we are in a direction of moving upward. And of course, that upward is the kingdom. That upward is God. That upward is the harmony. It's being at one and at peace. It's understanding our place in all of God's creation and to understand ourselves as God's creation with this direction of ascent. Happy Ascension Day. Christ has ascended. That's the greeting of today. And that is the most relevant greeting there is, because it ties us with everything from the beginning of time to today. It makes us realize that if there is a hope for today in this hurting world, it's up to us to understand that we need to ascend in a direction that God asks us to move in. And anything aside from that leaves God with a broken heart, leaves that love incomplete. Complete that love, so thy will, God's will, be done. Okay, the piano player is here. No escape of that. Hang on, okay? Here's Susie to make her announcements. I'm coming back with some great announcements.
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank you as well, all of our listeners. You know, we're coming on 12 years, the 12th anniversary. Yes, I know we say this is our 12th year of podcasting. Well, that's because there is no year zero. So year zero was our first year. So it's always that little issue of where we're at whenever we get to June. But we started podcasting June 18th, 2008. And it's a very special number for me because a lot of things happened that year. We were able to put this together in some very unique times. And as we hit this 12th anniversary, it's an opportunity for us to reflect and also think about where we're going. And I wanted to just share that quickly because there's something really big looming, and that is yesterday. You're our first people. I'm sharing this with you, the Next Step listeners first, okay? Yesterday, we had a meeting with Archbishop Hovnan Derde and the Primate of the Western Diocese, and Inishus became an official arm of the diocese. We actually asked and petitioned that we become a ministry within the diocese, and as such, we add a lot of flavor to the Inishus mission that becomes Armenian Church, that becomes this Armenian Orthodoxy that we've been preaching. You know, there's been so many dimensions to it, and this is part of the history of Inishus. Those of you who've been with us know that it was formed in 2003 and know that, you know, there was a group of kids that came up with the idea of helping others as defining their identity. And through the years, we have done so much. In fact, in preparation for that meeting with the Archbishop, I had to go through the archives and the history. And when we look at the volume of stuff we've done, whether it's you know, rallies for Darfur, whether it's going on the going up to the state capitol and petitioning for divestment and taking kids out into the street, raising $500,000 one year for starving children in Africa, all in the name of Inishus, it's overwhelming. And this in itself needs some kind of documentation. And it's really bizarre, all the different places that we're finding it. In other words, we had a website that was defunct, but it still exists. And in fact, I showed it to Susie a couple of days ago, and she said, wait, there's one even older than that. And thanks to the United States government, we have archives.gov, which has these archives. So it's kind of really wild when you look at it. You know, there's like quite a bit of information out there, and it needs somebody to process it and put it in. Hint, hint, if there's anybody who wants to do some volunteer work, I could use it. Get in touch with me, and I'd be happy to put somebody to work doing that. But that's not the intention of what I'm saying right now. I'm just saying that we hit a beautiful point right now. And I can't really tell you too much more because there isn't much more than that. We sat down, we had with our board of directors and the Archbishop, and we talked about how we can serve people better. And, you know, I've told you that there really is no coincidences, that it's all in God's hand. And just as we were contemplating this, doing this, we get a call from completely random, I want to say. I mean, just bizarre how these things happen. Gentleman from back east who wants to donate $10,000 for COVID-19 families that have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, people who have lost their jobs, who need food. And it brings tears to your eyes how these things work. And so that's coming in. This will probably be the first project that we do under the umbrella of the diocese. Not much is going to change on the outside, but internally, it's a little shakeup, and it's a good shakeup. So bear with me. Next few weeks, we'll get this all out. We'll send out an official email to our listeners, to our huge email list, and get everybody on board. I think it's going to be good times ahead. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your confidence, and thank you for being with us. Let's see. We are on that week. Today is Ascension. not this Sunday, the following Sunday is Pentecost. This is that one Sunday in between. There's 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost. This Sunday I'll be celebrating the Divine Liturgy at, let's see, St. Sarkis Church in Santa Clarita. I do not know if they have, if they stream from their church, but if they do, you know what I'll do is I'll just copy the stream and post it on my page on Facebook so you can check it out. That would be 10:30 Pacific time, if there is such a feed. If not, you know, check in with wherever you're at. And when you do pray, please remember me, because I'll be remembering you. Listen, on behalf of our wonderful team, yes, although we don't see each other except on those screens, they are all here. Ken, our technical director, and Susie, our producer. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. And don't forget the show notes.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
It's gonna be so hard to say goodbye. I love you all too. Goodbye, Tin Man. Oh, don't cry. You'll rust so dreadfully. Here's your oil can. Goodbye.
Now I know I've got a heart, because it's breaking.